the criminal justice system, the people are represented by two separate yet equally important groups, the police who investigate crime and the district attorneys who prosecute the offenders. These are their stories.
So you never guess who's trying on a Chanel suit? Sandy Rowan?
Chanel? Who's she kidding with those hips?
The point is, she's getting back with Bruce.
No way after that whole thing.
Well, forget that. If John forgot my 10th anniversary, I would be out of there before you can say Rotwell Felder.
I mean, where is your sense of pride?
She said love is stronger than pride.
Bruce's bank account? Stronger than both.
Yeah.
Hey!
Oh, my God!
A woman is pushed from a car that leaves.
Call the police! Someone call the police!
The women hurry to the body.
Oh, my God. Oh, God.
Later at the scene.
Took one to the chest. Emmy says it was up close and personal. Drove up the block like a bat out of H-E double hockey sticks.
What precinct are you from? Sesame Street?
She still got her watch and her wedding ring.
We got a couple of witnesses over there say it looked like a carjacking.
You got enough for an APB?
Partial plate. Blue Escalade, SUV, newer model. These are detectives Briscoe and Green. You can tell them what happened.
I have to get back to the deli. We're expecting a meat delivery.
Meat? A woman's just been shot.
Hey, I got the license number and I called 911. What'd you do?
Take it easy, pal. This is only going to take a minute.
Okay, I was outside having a smoke and I see a black guy pull this lady out of her SUV.
She was stopped at the light.
What did he look like?
Only 20s, sideburns.
He was tallish, around 6 feet, medium build. He had a tattoo on his arm.
This lady, she was putting up a fight. The guy pulls a gun and just pops her, bang.
Because she wouldn't get out of the car?
Looked like. The city's a cesspool. 2 years ago, guy comes into my shop, points a gun. Give him whatever he wants. Nothing's worth your life.
Well, those are worth live by.
Or die by.
The woman is in a body bag on a gurney. The New York City skyline is lit up at night. Police officers work the city streets. The word law moves in front of a squad car, and a man is led away in handcuffs. Detective Lenny Briscoe's tie is loosely knotted around his open shirt collar. Detective Eddie Green is neatly dressed, and Lieutenant Anita Van Buren is in her office. The word order appears in front of a courthouse, and a U.S. flag waves. Scenes from a courtroom are shown. Executive Assistant D.A. Jack McCoy is leaning on his desk. Assistant D.A. Serena Sutherland and D.A. Arthur Branch are in their offices. Law and order. The detectives and assistant D.A.s walk down a hallway together.
The ME said the victim was in her late 20s. A .38 slug severed her aorta.
Did you notify their family?
She must have left all her ID in the car.
It's too soon for missing persons. None of the local store owners recognized her.
Could be a tourist.
SUV didn't have rental plates.
Motor vehicle ran the partial. Came up with 240 plates matching the first three digits.
When are people going to learn a car just isn't worth it?
It was a Cadillac. Hey, that model is the number one stolen vehicle in America today.
The Escalade we're looking for is a dark Ming blue. Now, according to the manufacturer, that makes it a 2002.
Detective Fatuco up in the Bronx is working a chop shop on Jerome Avenue that specializes in SUVs.
You know Ed Fatuco?
It's amazing what you can learn when you read the precinct weeklies. Go talk to him.
Later, Eddie and Lenny are with Fatuco.
Jerome Avenue. We took that baby down a few weeks back.
We're looking for a young black runner who jacked a 2002 Blue Escalade this morning.
That wouldn't be my guys.
What, your guys don't steal American?
You said he's a black runner? Jerome Avenue, strictly Italian.
Oh, and all this time I thought the 14th Amendment outlawed separate but equal car theft rings.
Not in the Bronx, it don't.
Hey, did any rats pop out of that bust?
Now you're talking Bronx. Those boys couldn't wait to roll on each other. Joe Borelli, the perfect informant. Not as dumb as he looks. He's afraid of everyone's shadow, especially mine. He's a minor player, but he knows the field. I'll give him a heads up.
All right, thanks.
Good luck with that SUV. Probably in a million pieces by now.
Yeah, or in a container on its way to Dusseldorf.
East Side Diner, Unionport, the Bronx.
You sure nobody's seen you come in here?
Oh, you mean I shouldn't have given my card to those guys with the broken noses in the corner booth?
Cute. But I got a reputation to uphold.
Yeah, you might want to flip them sausages over there.
Borelli is cooking in the kitchen.
Hey, Tina, I'm going to have to call you back, okay? All right, later. Tomorrow's her birthday.
Two Manhattan dicks.
Guess that SUV belongs to somebody pretty special.
Yeah, she was left lying in a pool of her own blood on West 23rd Street.
Whoa, my guys are strictly parking lots.
Yeah, what about the competition?
You know what, Lenny, why don't you go wait out in front of the restaurant, maybe put the cherry on top of the car.
Oh, all right. I know this guy. He likes SUVs. Doesn't ask questions.
Later, the two detectives approach a man working on a car.
Hey, yo! You seen the blue Escalade?
Who's asking?
Ralph Nader.
Yeah? I didn't vote for you.
We're looking for a runner who boosted a blue Escalade today.
I'd like to help you, pal, but as you can see, I run a legitimate business here.
Well, since you're strictly legit, you won't mind us taking a little look around. I'm in the market for a new fender.
You guys got a warrant?
Hey, you hear that?
Yeah, I think I do.
Hear what?
The sound of a woman calling for help.
Ah, this sucks.
Female in distress. That's exigent circumstances.
They go inside.
This looks like a legitimate business to me. Oh, that matches the partial we got. Well, pal, this is your chance to tell us something that'll keep you out of jail.
Look, you caught me in an embarrassing moment here. So, I'm going to be straight with you.
Oh, that's big of you.
My guy was going to start working on the car when he found this.
The man opens the back.
Nobody around here will touch it.
Biohazardous waste.
You got a pair, my friend.
Yeah, it's Detective Green. I need auto to confiscate a car, and I need a hazmat crew.
Look, I ID the guy you're looking for, you'll walk away.
Let's open the discussion.
Name's Lamont Tyler, lives over in the projects on Jefferson and 23rd. Hey, I thought we had a deal.
Well, the deal hasn't started yet. If your info pans out, you walk.
Lenny handcuffs the suspect. Later, Lenny and Eddie are outside an apartment with armed police. The door opens.
Yo, Trice.
Lamont runs, and the police chase him to an open window. Eddie pushes him down and cuffs him.
Lamont Tyler! You what's the deal, my man?
Oh, you gotta be kidding.
You going somewhere, bro? Got a job down south.
Well, call your boss and tell him you're gonna be late.
Eddie finds a gun wrapped in a shirt.
Oh, I thought I was the only guy that still carried a .38.
Yo, that ain't mine. You planted that, man.
Yeah, you stick with that story, see how far it gets you.
Later, Lamont is standing in a lineup with the number 2 on his chest.
You recognize anybody, Mr. Theodulo?
He can't see me through this window, right? I don't want any trouble.
No, it's a one-way mirror. Nobody can see you.
Theodulo studies the lineup, and his gaze stops at Lamont.
I think it's number 2.
You think?
Number 2, approach the window.
Lamont takes a few swaggering steps forward.
That's him.
Are you sure?
He's the one. He shot that lady.
Thanks for your time.
Theodulo leaves.
Keep number 2. 3 witnesses, 3 positive IDs.
3 strikes.
I can count, detective. We're out of options here, Lamont.
But I didn't do nothing.
I think Anna Hopkins would disagree.
Who's that?
The woman who owns the SUV you jacked.
Oh, that's liable, man. I hate that.
Oh, then this is really gonna piss you off. She's dead, and we're thinking you killed her.
Oh, hell no, not me. I was at a bar.
A bar? Just for chuckles, which one?
How am I supposed to remember that?
Even if he could remember Lenny, he'd have to explain away his fingerprints on the victim's vehicle.
It must be a mistake.
Oh, this is good, the way you're working with us. See, now what about that .38 we found at your crib? Was that a mistake, too?
Now you got it.
3 witnesses ID'd you, Lamont. Ballistics matched the piece we found in your room. The way I see it, you got about an 8 high, and you're looking down the barrel of aces full. You better start thinking about folding.
That's on you, B.
I gotta tell you, Lamont, I don't see a way out of this.
Talk now, man. We can work out something with the DA.
Decision's on you, B.
Lamont looks solemnly from Lenny to Eddie to his lawyer.
Where do I sign, man?
Van Buren steps into a hallway.
Hey, look. Tyler signed a confession, nice and neat.
Yep, he'll be making license plates now instead of stealing them.
I wish all our cases went down that easy.
They don't. Hazmat crew sent the vial over to an independent lab. The report just came in. Coronavirus.
Coronavirus, as in SARS?
That's the one. Now the question is, what the hell was it doing in the Vic's car?
They hurry down the hallway. Later, a man is with the detectives.
The thing I thought I'd do today was identify my wife at the morgue.
We're really sorry for your loss.
What happens to the bastard who killed her?
He confessed, Mr. Hopkins.
You mean he'll plea out?
See, that's a sure thing. A trial...
Hopkins' jaw drops.
So my wife is in the ground. And he's out walking around in 2 years?
I think it's going to be a lot more than two, sir.
He stands and walks across the room and looks out a window. He sits on a bench and leans back.
Last week, Anna and I celebrated our third anniversary. Took her to Lagaloo. Over dinner, we talked about having a baby.
We'd like to ask you some questions about your wife, if it's okay.
My wife was killed for 6,000 pounds of metal. What the hell is there to ask?
For starters, what was she doing with a toxic virus in her trunk?
For God's sake, she works at Hudson University Research Lab as a lab technician.
Office of Dr. Charles Blanchard, Hudson University.
Back when I was at Stanford, Harvard offered me twice the salary for half the workload.
I'd have been on the first plane east.
I was, only not to Cambridge. Hudson doubled Harvard's offer. Why do you suppose that is?
I don't know. You're good.
It was a good business. Labs need money to survive. The real money comes from research applications. You can't imagine the millions my work can generate.
Can we get back to Anna Hopkins, Dr. Blanchard?
She was good at what she did.
Which was?
Doing what I told her.
And did you tell her to drive around town with a vial of SARS in her trunk?
What? Not a chance. We have people for that. We have medical couriers who transport viral cultures.
But you do have the SARS virus on the premises.
We had it. We acquired a small culture a few months ago for antiviral research.
What'd you do, go around the corner to Woolworths?
China, actually. You know what it must be? We often share viral cultures with other labs. Anna must have been servicing a request.
And you'd have paperwork for that?
Yes, well, of course. The health department requires meticulous reports in triplicate. I'll check with the folks in administration.
We already did.
Nice try anyway, Doc.
Blanchard glares at the detectives and takes several steps toward them.
What are you implying?
That like all good businesses, you're covering your ass.
He glances down uncomfortably.
We do a detailed background check of every employee before we hire them. I interviewed Anna personally. I don't usually make mistakes like this.
Like what?
Anna's maiden name was Ozaria. She was born in Saudi Arabia.
Apartment of Ian and Anna Hopkins.
Oh, I get it. By suspicious, you mean Arab. Her father is Saudi, so she must be a terrorist.
Your wife was driving around the city with an unauthorized vial of SARS, Mr. Hopkins. Times being what they are, we have to wonder why.
She's dead. Does it make any difference now?
She had friends, it does.
Oh, because those people never work alone. Her father passed away last August. We went to Riyadh for the funeral. She spent some time with her brothers.
Was there anything different about her when you returned to the States?
Yeah, of course she was different. Her father had just died. And her mother had passed away 6 months earlier. You know, you'd have liked her mother. She was British.
Look, Mr. Hopkins, if you know anything about this, you need to tell us now.
All right, let me check her palm pilot. You know, because I think she's got Osei's home phone number.
Hey, stop it! We have an outbreak of SARS.
Eddie glares directly at Hopkins, who moves his mouth without being able to speak.
St. Mark's Hospital.
You know what, Mr. Hopkins? Maybe we will check your wife's palm pilot.
Right now, there are only 12 sick people.
But that could be just the tip of the iceberg, right?
So what happens now?
The health department has directed all symptomatic patients be isolated here while we try to locate patient zero.
And what if it's not one of the 12?
Patient zero goes to the market, coughs on the produce. Then he heads on the number one train downtown to the office.
I get the point.
CDC is conducting an epidemiological investigation. Until that's completed, we won't know how potent this particular strand of the virus is.
Is coughing the only way it can be spread?
Typically, the virus is transmitted through the respiratory system, but the CDC recently banned blood donors who travel to SARS-infected regions.
We're going to need a list of all the isolated patients.
Later, Eddie and Lenny are with Van Buren at headquarters.
The lab report on Anna Hopkins came back from the ME. Her blood tested negative for the virus, so she wasn't a carrier.
As far as we can tell, none of the SARS patients is connected to Hopkins or to anyone Hopkins even knew.
Now, that's hardly a shock. If this is bioterrorism, there's probably no obvious connection.
But hold on. Anna Hopkins isn't on any FBI or Homeland Security list.
Almost sleep easy now.
Detective Briscoe, friend of Anna Hopkins on line two, says it's important.
Thanks.
Lenny picks up a phone.
Detective Briscoe.
Later, outside.
She knew it was wrong, but she didn't know what to do.
Driving around with SARS?
He made her do it, that bastard.
What bastard are we talking about?
Dr. Ego, that's who, her boss.
Blanchard? He told us they had special couriers for that.
Look, I'm just telling you what Anna told me.
Did she tell you why she took the chance?
Because he told her to, that's why. I said he was crossing the line by making her pick up his lunch, but this... I mean, she could have really gotten sick.
What was she supposed to do with it?
Get rid of it?
Where?
I don't know. Did those people get sick from the stuff in Anna's car?
We're not sure yet. Could have all just been a coincidence.
Yeah. All right, we're on our way. Well, maybe patient zero can shed some light.
Thank you.
I would have bet my degree that the origin of this particular outbreak wasn't Canada.
Why is that?
Short course, there are two strains of SARS virus. The Singapore type, which caused all the problems for our friends up north, and...
Let me guess, the other one is from China.
Oh, I see you're current with the medical journals.
No, we have a friend who imported a whole batch for antiviral research.
Patient zero, doctor?
Patient zero. A journalist named Janine Wilson, who recently returned from a medical symposium in Toronto. By the time she presented with respiratory symptoms, she transmitted the virus to everyone you see here, including her four-year-old son, Tanner, who isn't progressing as well as we'd like. Poor kid, he's got rheumatoid arthritis as it is.
Can we talk to her?
Follow me?
Are there any new cases reported?
None in the last 48 hours. Fortunately, it looks like we caught this in time.
Well, still, shouldn't we be wearing masks or something?
Breathe easy, Detective. That's what isolation units are for.
The detectives are outside a protective window.
I write for Science Today. If I didn't know Charles Blanchard, I wouldn't have a job. What is this about?
Anna Hopkins?
I haven't seen her in almost a year. I couldn't have infected her.
She was killed in a carjacking.
Oh, my God.
Wilson is taking oxygen and wearing a hospital gown.
Charles had something to do with it?
No, but the thing is, Mrs. Hopkins had a vial of the coronavirus in the back of her car.
That bastard. What in the world was he thinking?
What are you referring to?
He put my baby at risk, millions of innocent people?
Why don't we start at the beginning, Ms. Wilson?
She swallows hard.
Charles and I had a thing. It was good, except he has a wife. I should have known he'd never leave her.
And you told him to pack his things?
4 years too late.
She glances around, then looks up at the detectives.
The B-12 shot. That had to be it.
Blanchard gave you a B-12 injection?
Every week while we were seeing each other, I have chronic fatigue. The last shot was right after I came back from Toronto. He came over to beg. I can't believe I felt guilty about infecting my child in the name of my so-called career, and all along it was that son of a bitch.
Later, Lenny and Eddie enter a home.
Can we come in, ma'am? See, Doc, some people still make house calls.
What's this about, Charles?
Sir, you're gonna have to come with us.
What are you doing?
Just call a lawyer, Elaine.
Charles Blanchard, you're under arrest for the attempted murder of Janine Wilson. You have the right to remain silent. Anything you do say, Janet will be used against you in a court of law.
Docket number 475434. People v. Blanchard, Charles W. Charges attempted murder in the first degree.
How do you plead?
My client pleads not guilty.
Bail?
Your Honor, the people seek remand.
Dr. Blanchard intentionally infected his former lover with the SARS virus.
Allegedly.
She went on to infect 11 other people.
Charles Blanchard runs one of the nation's most prestigious medical research labs, oversees a staff of 100 people.
He also lectured in 6 different countries in the past year.
Looks like he's got some frequent flyer miles to cash in. They ever said at $300,000... defendant to surrender his passport.
Later at the DA's.
Attempted murder. Remind me not to sneeze on you.
Your client intentionally injected Jeanine Wilson with a deadly virus.
Do I have to listen to this?
If you prefer, we can send you right off to Attica now, doctor.
Let's just for a moment assume that there's some truth to this crazy theory of yours, and that Dr. Blanchard did actually inject this Wilson woman with the coronavirus. To rise to attempted murder, the defendant's act would have to be potentially fatal.
Your point?
SARS is not fatal.
I'm sure that will be a comfort to the 800 people worldwide who've already been buried.
If treated properly, it's a bad flu, period. Entirely curable.
Was that your plan, doctor? You make her sick, you cure her, she comes running back to you?
I've had enough.
Blanchard walks to the door.
Let's go, Charlotte.
Let me just put a couple of bees in your bonnet before I go. First, Mrs. Blanchard will testify that Charles was home with her the night Mrs. Wilson claims he gave her the B12 shot. Second, the virus was found in Anna Hopkins' car. Third, Mrs. Hopkins had no authorization to transport such materials. Have a nice day. Oh, I almost forgot the biggest bee of all. Anna Hopkins is of Middle Eastern descent.
Don't go there, Charlotte.
Why not? Your cops did.
Charlotte leaves.
When all else fails, blame the Arabs.
Draft a motion to exclude any mention of Anna Hopkins' background.
Chambers of Judge Antonia Mellon.
It's well settled that the defense is entitled to offer any evidence that might tend to exculpate the defendant.
Not if it's totally irrelevant.
Really? Tell that to Tom Ridge. Tell it to Tom Brokaw. And if your set's been on the fritz, for the last 2 years, he's been opening every newscast with an item on the war against terrorism.
Your Honor, this case has nothing to do with terrorism.
How can you be so sure? Every day, we're told to be wary of biochemical attacks by Arab terrorists. 12 people were infected with a virus, the source of which was a vial found in the trunk of a car owned by a woman born in Saudi Arabia.
Mrs. Hopkins had no connection with any terrorist group. She didn't socialize with Arabs or even worship in a mosque. The point is, there is no evidence whatsoever indicating this was politically motivated. Allowing the defense to even suggest as much will do nothing but inflame and mislead the jury.
It's called reasonable doubt.
No, Ms. Swan, it's called a racial crock. Now, if you can't come up with anything other than name-calling, you can't offer it as evidence in my courtroom.
In D.A. Branch's office.
I gotta tell you, if I were in Swan's shoes, I would have played the same card.
Anything to win a case?
Well, it's not like terrorists wearing ID card around their necks. Who knows what this woman was up to?
I do. She was dumping the weapon her boss used to try to kill Jeanine Wilson.
And if that boss was a Dr. Charles Blanchard, I don't know as I'd believe you.
You know him?
Saw him on Larry King. Pompous son of a gun said he's prepared to rid the world of all that ails it.
He also managed to trigger the first SARS epidemic in New York.
Well, be warned. A lot of very important people think an awful lot of this guy.
Including his wife. Swan says that she's prepared to testify that Blanchard was at home with her on the night that Jeanine Wilson claims that he injected her.
Talk to the missus. See just how prepared she is. Better you sit this one out, Jack. I'm thinking this might be better handled woman to woman.
Apartment of Dr. and Mrs. Charles Blanchard.
Life with a man of genius isn't always easy. I'm the first to admit that. But over the years, we've built a good life together. A happy life.
I know this is difficult, Mrs. Blanchard, but where does someone like Jeanine Wilson fit into the picture?
Believe me, I know from experience. A high IQ is an aphrodisiac. I know the mere presence his effect has on women. I've certainly learned not to be jealous.
But he always came home to you.
I should be insulted by that.
I'm sorry.
The fact is, he never goes home with anyone but me. This whole story about some sordid affair is nonsense.
So you think Jeanine Wilson is lying?
Of course she is.
No offense, Mrs. Blanchard, but how can you be so sure?
Because Charles told me. I would certainly take his word over that of some hussy who's deluded herself into thinking that Charles has even noticed her. On the night in question, we had dinner at home and went to bed early.
Later, Serena and McCoy are walking outside.
She's either a great liar or the queen of denial.
A masochist or a saint.
Or telling the truth, whatever it is, I think a jury might find her credible.
And you?
I hate to admit it, but I might even believe her.
Which means Janine Wilson is lying.
Or that Anna Hopkins was more culpable than we thought. Elaine Blanchard told me that women fall all over themselves for her husband.
I can understand the RICO statute, but a woman falling...
That's what makes life interesting. So suppose Anna Hopkins had an unrequited thing for Blanchard. And suppose she thought Janine was the reason it was unrequited.
Hell hath no fury like an unrequited lap tech. See what the gossip is around the water cooler.
Kidding. The only one around here in love with Charles Blanchard is Charles Blanchard.
So there was nothing personal between he and Anna Hopkins?
Oh, sure there was. He made her nauseous.
But that's odd because his wife seems to think women are crazy for him.
Oh, well, he's okay until you spend some time with him. The man may not always be right, but he is never wrong, if you know what I mean. He's the feudal lord and we're all his serfs plowing his fields.
Let me ask you this. Did Anna ever mention a reporter named Janine Wilson?
Sure. Said she was a nice lady. Foolish, but nice. She thought Janine was wasting her life waiting around for Blanchard.
She knew that Janine and Blanchard were having an affair?
Who didn't? You don't interview someone for an article for 4 years.
So Janine actually came by the lab?
Sure, 2-3 times a week. She left her kid with Anna when she and Blanchard went off to lunch.
When was the last time she was here?
This time I saw her was a couple weeks ago.
St. Mark's Hospital, isolation ward.
He was doing better yesterday. And then this morning he woke up with a fever of 103. They've released everyone else.
Serena is with Wilson.
I pray to God that bastard rots in jail.
I don't know if you will, Janine.
I thought... my virus was the same as that in the vial.
It was.
It got into me somehow, damn it. It had to be the injection.
You're probably right.
So what's the problem?
You.
What?
You told the police that you hadn't seen Anna Hopkins in months. I know that you saw her at the lab just a few weeks ago. Why did you lie?
Wilson glances away tearfully and looks toward her child in an isolation ward. Later, Serena's with McCoy.
She says she had a paternity test 4 years ago at Blanchard's insistence.
He certainly thinks highly of her.
Janine said she wanted to keep the whole thing from her son as long as Blanchard stuck it out with his wife.
Mrs. Blanchard know about the child?
Janine says absolutely not.
Oh, well, see how long Dr. Blanchard has an alibi after you tell her.
After I tell her?
Arthur was right. This sort of thing is better handled woman to woman.
With Elaine Blanchard.
If you expect me to start throwing dishes, you're mistaken.
To be honest, I expected some kind of reaction.
Why?
Your husband not only cheated on you, but he fathered a child with another woman.
I never wanted children.
That's not the point.
No, your point is that I should feel betrayed. Minimized, used. Well, I hate to ruin your day, but I don't.
Mrs. Blanchard, most women would...
are fools. Their husband cheats, and their first call is to the divorce attorney.
I have to admit that would be my reaction.
These are the same fools who stand by their husbands charged with embezzlement, or even murder. I'm sorry, but to me, those crimes are a bit more morally reprehensible.
Excuse me. Yeah. Sure. Speaking of murder, your husband's son Tanner just died.
Elaine's expression does not change.
I wish my dog was as loyal as Elaine Blanchard.
You told her about the kid?
She didn't even bat an eye.
Doesn't matter. I doubt Swan will put her on the stand anyway.
He has to. She's the alibi witness.
In the grand scheme of things, a wife's testimony doesn't amount to a hill of grits.
But it is better than nothing, Arthur.
On the other hand, when a wife takes a stand, privilege goes down the toilet. I've been around for 6 decades. I've never committed a felony. Still, I wouldn't want my wife cross-examined on the record.
Well, my money's on Elaine. Besides, by the time she takes the stand, she's going to be better prepped than Meryl Streep.
On the other hand, we could be putting the cart before the mule. Now, Blanchard's staring at a murder charge now. See if he isn't more amenable to a plea.
In the DA's office.
This is a tragedy. We're both very sorry, but my client still didn't do it. It doesn't change a thing.
Except the indictment.
We're upping the charge to murder, too.
That's absurd. Whoever did this couldn't possibly have foreseen the child's death.
But as any first-year law student knows, intent follows the bullet. The target of your rage was Jeanine Wilson. The boy was collateral damage.
Think about how that's going to sound to the jury.
Guilty pleas are only for the guilty, Miss Sutherland. We'll take our chances with the jury.
Charlotte and Blanchard leave. Supreme Court Trial, Part 57.
No. In my opinion, there is absolutely no possibility that Jeanine Wilson could have been infected accidentally with the SARS virus while she was in Toronto.
How can you be so sure?
In layman's terms, the SARS virus originates in two parts of the world. The type that has infected the people in Toronto comes from Singapore.
And that was not the type that infected Jeanine Wilson and her son Tanner?
No. That was the type originating in Hong Kong, which infected all those people in China.
And the vial found in Anna Hopkins' car?
That was the Hong Kong strain. In addition, we compared cells found in the vial with those found in the infected patients. The results were remarkably similar.
Specifically?
A 92% genetic match.
Thank you.
Charlotte stands.
Did you test the cells found in the needle used to inject Jeanine Wilson?
No.
Why not?
I don't believe the police ever located it.
I see. So fingerprints would be out of the question, too?
Obviously.
Thank you, Doctor.
Later, Jeanine Wilson is on the stand.
It started with a backache, muscle soreness, and a headache. At first, I thought it was the flu.
And later?
The doctors diagnosed SARS.
That must have been quite a shock.
Yes, it was. Sure, I'd been to Toronto, but all the literature said the epidemic there had been contained.
Were you scared?
I'd written several articles about SARS. I knew that if treated properly, I would recover. Besides, in prior discussions with Dr. Blanchard, he assured me that treatment was simple and painless.
And he would know.
He wrote the book on virology, didn't he?
You don't sound convinced.
He wanted to hurt me. He did. But why hurt my baby? The steroids he was taking for juvenile arthritis weakened his immune system. You knew Tanner was on medication.
Just answer the questions asked, Miss Wilson.
My baby is dead. He was only 4. How could you?
How can you be so sure it was Dr. Blanchard who infected you?
He's the one who stuck a needle in my arm. He said it was B12.
But he'd been doing that for years, if I'm not mistaken.
Sure, while we were seeing each other romantically. After 4 years, I finally realized he was never going to leave his wife. That's when I told him I couldn't go on any longer.
What did he say?
He had a tantrum. The great Dr. Charles Blanchard. Then he said I'd be sorry. A week later, he called and apologized. Said we were both adults. We should continue our friendship. I believed him. That's why I let him give me another shot instead of going to another doctor.
McCoy looks at the jury before taking his seat. And Charlotte approaches Wilson.
Did you know Anna Hopkins? The woman in whose car the virus was found?
Of course. She worked for Charles.
Pretty girl. I suppose. Dr. Blanchard likes pretty girls, doesn't he?
I wouldn't know.
Oh, come on, Miss Wilson. Don't be so modest.
He said Anna was a good worker.
Yes, I just imagined she was.
Objection.
Withdrawn. Was Anna a jealous woman?
Objection.
That's enough, Counselor.
Wade, I admit it. I felt terrible about it. That's why I called it off.
How did Miss Wilson take that?
She became hysterical. She threatened me. She said she'd do whatever it took to pay me back.
Wait a minute. Are you suggesting that she infected herself to implicate you?
No, of course not. It's easier to lie about some imaginary B12 injection.
So you didn't give her injections?
I did when we were seeing each other. When I ended our affair, I suggested several other doctors who'd be more than willing to continue her treatment.
So you didn't give her an injection on the night of September 12th, the night after she came back from Toronto?
Certainly not. I hadn't been to her apartment in several weeks.
For the record, where were you that night?
At home, with my wife.
Carolyn looks directly at the jury, then sits.
It took you 4 years to realize that cheating on your wife was a mistake.
No. I'm a 50-year-old man who had a young, beautiful, intelligent woman interested in him. What can I say? I was flattered. I was weak.
So, when it came to a choice between your ego and your marriage, you chose the former.
I hated myself for lying to my wife about the affair. It was the first and only time. I keep no other secrets from her.
I see. You told her about your son, did you?
Blanchard stares at McCoy from the witness stand while Elaine watches coolly from the courtroom. Later, Serena enters McCoy's office.
Hi. I guess Swan feels you scored some points in your cross because she's calling Elaine Blanchard first thing tomorrow.
And the jury will see it for what it is, a woman lying to protect her husband.
Yeah, why she'd want to is another question.
Different people expect different things from marriage.
And I guess you're an expert on that?
Before you go any further, she left me because I spent too many nights like this.
Supreme Court Trial, Part 57.
Of course, I remember. Charles and I had dinner in, and then finished working the Sunday crossword puzzle. I think we went to bed around 11.
And you're sure you're thinking of the night of the 12th, not the 11th, perhaps, or the 13th?
Yes, because it was a Monday. That's when we typically work the crossword.
Good. Did your husband leave the apartment, let's say, to walk the dog?
We don't have a dog.
To go to the corner store to get some ice cream?
He was home all night.
No further questions.
McCoy strolls toward the witness stand and holds out his hand in a casual gesture.
Did you know your husband was having an affair?
No.
How did it make you feel when you found out?
Elaine lowers her eyes and glances around.
I'm human. It hurt. He certainly isn't the first husband to cheat.
This wasn't a one-night stand, Mrs. Blanchard. This was a 4-year affair.
Is there really any difference?
He had a baby with her, Mrs. Blanchard.
He stares directly at her with a frown as he takes a few steps back from the witness stand.
What did you have for dinner the night of the 12th?
She lifts her eyebrows and stiffens.
Prime rib.
Did you and your husband have wine for dinner that night? Mrs. Blanchard.
She closes her eyes.
Yes. Cameron.
She begins to cry. She looks directly at her husband, and he shakes his head very slightly.
I'm sorry. I can't do this.
Carolyn sits upright and leans forward in her chair.
My husband is...
Elaine and Blanchard stare at each other.
You killed your own son.
Objection.
He was not home with me that evening. I lied about everything.
Chambers, Your Honor.
Blanchard continues staring as Elaine buries her face in her hand. In chambers.
She was your witness, Miss Swan.
I know that. What I didn't know was that she'd commit perjury.
With which story?
She's obviously an emotionally disturbed woman, hell-bent on vengeance. I want a mistrial.
On what grounds? A witness's credibility is an issue for the jury.
She obviously offered contradictory testimony.
From which a jury can infer whatever it pleases.
Her testimony was in and of itself a criminal act. I move that you order the jury to disregard it in its entirety.
Nice try, Miss Swan. Sorry.
Then I want to redirect her.
It's your funeral.
Elaine is on the witness stand.
That was some performance, Mrs. Blanchard. It was the truth. Of course it was. You wouldn't lie under oath.
I tried.
Your conscience. I know. Tell me, Mrs. Blanchard, do you know a Martha Harlow? If you didn't hear the question,
she was one of Charles's students.
And
she lowers her eyes.
He had an affair with her.
I see. How about Denise Lowell? Do you know her?
She's a member of our club.
And
Charles had an affair with her, too.
You caught the two of them in your bed, isn't that right? I'm sorry, I didn't...
Yes.
And Cheryl Bennett, Lynn Siegel, Lauren Phelps, Madeline Broom. He had affairs with all of them, too, didn't he?
Yes.
And those are just the ones you know about. God only knows how many others there are. Let me ask you something, Mrs. Blanchard. Doesn't that make you angry? Mrs. Blanchard.
Yes.
Angry enough to want to get back at him.
Yes.
Angry enough to do anything.
Yes.
Even lie, to have him sent to prison.
Objection.
Overruled. Answer the question.
Yes.
Now, truthfully, Mrs. Blanchard, was your husband home with you on the night in question?
Carolyn is leaning close to Elaine, and they stare at each other.
Yes.
Chambers!
Sorry, Counselor.
Elaine looks toward her husband, and he glares back. Carolyn and the Blanchards enter the DA's conference room with McCoy and Serena.
Choose a story, Mrs. Blanchard, any story. Just try to stick with it, okay?
It's obvious what happened, Jack. She tried to lie. She couldn't.
Look, thanks to your wife, the jury could go either way on this. I'm willing to offer you...
A deal? Do I look that stupid?
Shut up, Charles. For once in your life, I wish you'd learn to keep that damn mouth of yours shut. Luckily, it doesn't matter.
It was all an act, your entire testimony.
And I'd like to thank Miss Sutherland for reminding me that the bourgeois fantasies about fidelity and marriage are still running rampant in this country.
Excuse me?
You made me realize. It's easier for a jury to believe that a wife would lie to hurt a scoundrel than lie to protect him.
That's perjury.
Prove it.
We don't have to. You already admitted it on the stand.
Right, of course I did. But then I corrected myself and told the truth. Whatever that is.
She looks calmly at McCoy. In court, the judge gives a piece of paper to the bailiff.
Have you reached a verdict?
We have.
On the first count, attempt to commit murder in the second degree, how do you find?
We find the defendant, Charles Blanchard, not guilty.
On the second count, murder in the second degree, how do you find?
We find the defendant not guilty.
Wilson begins to cry. Carolyn and Blanchard shake hands. Serena turns to watch, and McCoy stands as Blanchard walks from the defendant's table and joins Elaine. The Blanchards clasp their hands together as they leave the courtroom. Serena and McCoy watch solemnly, then walk away. The preceding story was fictional, no actual person.